Lovely cushion header. Pajero! Oh, you're beautiful! What a head shot! What a head! Well, you take a second in these circumstances. What you have seen.
G'day and welcome to the LFC Podcasting Couch. This is your host, George Xanthus, joined as always by Peter the Coach Kafinas. How's it going, Pete?
Not too bad, George. Ready to go today, to be honest. I feel the juices flowing.
We do feel the juices flowing because usually we've got good stuff to talk about. This season has been good so far, but unfortunately we don't have good stuff to talk about off the bat. We've got probably, it's funny because it's our worst defeat, but I didn't come out of the game feeling like it was the worst performance because obviously the red card sort of ruins the whole thing. But there were defensive problems that I want to go through, so today we will talk about post Manchester City, the reaction. Obviously there's going to be talk about the red card. I think the bigger questions lie around the defense because we conceded that first goal and I wasn't happy with it. You know, I wasn't happy with it.
No chance.
So we can talk about that to begin with. Then we can go on about larger chats about the manager in these situations. What exactly did go wrong? Change of personnel. Then we go on to pre-Sevilla, talk about Coutinho, talk about starting 11, formation possibly, how Klopp moves on, how the crowd can bounce back. Maybe just to sort of have an overarching theme for the show, it's just chatting about the defense. So that's where we are with this show. That's the plan. Are we going to go according to plan?
We always do.
We roughly do. That's what we're gonna talk about. Does that sound good?
Let's do it. Let's get straight into it. Come on.
Let's go. Manchester City 5, Liverpool 0, naught. It's sort of like, it's funny because we were chatting on WhatsApp after the game and I said, look, sometimes we get beaten 4-0. Sometimes it happens. And then you said...
It was 5.
And I'm like, well, I didn't watch the last 5 minutes, so I wouldn't know. And it sort of sounds like I'm a shit supporter. I've never, ever turned off a Liverpool game in my life. There was actually a game where, so I'll tell you the first, one of the first instances was when Arsenal scored a late goal against us, probably about 10, 11 years ago. No, you know what? It's probably less, probably about 8 years ago. And I turned it off. I went, fuck this shit. But I can't walk away from a match like that. So I turned it back on. You know what happened? Dirk Kuyt or someone got brought down in the box.
Penalty.
Last minute penalty. Remember that?
Yeah,
can't remember if it was a 3-3, 1-1,
2-2. There was a ton of 4-3s and 3-3 matches between us.
Maybe it was 4-3, maybe we won. But so I never turn off a game. I turned off this game at 4-0, 82 minutes, just before the fifth was scored.
I think that's the heaviest defeat I've ever witnessed as a fan.
It's funny that is the case because at 2-3-0, everyone was pretty calm. And even after the game, like the immediate reaction was just, look, the red card ruined it. We move on. It should be worse. I reckon we should be feeling worse about it, but we're not, which is probably a good thing.
I don't blame the red card. The red card obviously had its impact in the match, but I don't blame the red card. I'm sorry. I think we're just looking for excuses to try and put a band-aid over the fact that we got absolutely raped.
I'm a little bit in both camps because I do blame the red card, so I don't agree with you there. But what I do agree with you is it shouldn't change. It should not change it. It's just the same thing I've been saying about the defense. My thing. What do you think I'm going to say with our defensive setup, at least in midfield?
They're sitting back with the two.
I want two. I don't know if you want to. I don't know if anyone else wants to. We attack, and maybe it's naive and ignorant of me to think, and it probably is because I don't know as much about football as Jurgen Klopp. I look at the way that we attack, and don't we just get it to the front three as quick as possible?
Regardless,
what does it matter what formation the middle three are in? Arguably, Wijnaldum has been advanced when he's played well. Emre Can was advanced when he had the 1-2 with Mane. But that could be the one in the 4-2-3-1. Like, there's the back three, the third, the cam behind the striker.
I think, when it comes to midfield three, and you've always got the designated six, which is the holder, excuse me. You've got we call it like an eight. He does kind of like box to box.
He actually calls them the left and the right eight.
Yeah, and then you've got the 10 who, you know, is your Fleury Coutinho kind of player.
Right, so you're actually breaking him up.
Yeah. So but the way maybe he, what he could do to help us out, because we need it when it comes in terms of defense, because our weakest is from our transition from attack to defense. That's when we're the weakest. So when we try to break forward and people actually counter us is our biggest weakness, yeah, besides the corners and set pieces. But I feel like that's our, if you look at the first goal, for example, Mignolet clears the ball. When Adam just gets bullied off the ball, loses the header, it was almost like he didn't even compete in the air.
I thought Henderson lost something somewhere.
That was for the third goal. That, okay, that terrible chip pass to Firmino.
Right, okay. I thought Henderson, maybe Henderson did win it, but then Wijnaldum lost it. I don't know. I feel like Henderson, the ball was struck towards him for some reason. Okay, maybe not. Yep, sorry.
Well, I think what you're seeing is that De Bruyne was free without Henderson close to him, being our one who has to sit the deepest, and De Bruyne being the highest midfielder. So I think that's what you're that's what you're seeing there. But so we clear the ball, so we're trying to go forward. We lose a header, forced to arguably the best player on the field, and just splits the defence.
So the thing is, we were trying to find it before the game, and fucking LFCDV.com, fucking hell, can't find shit. How it took me 25 minutes to find shit on that website. It's so backward.
It needs fixing.
It needs fixing.
Just like our defense. But
just look, like, it's like our defense. Oh, no wonder our defense can't fucking play. They're going on the website trying to look at their own goals. Fucking Salah's going, I want to see my goal from last week. He can't see the goal, so he's forgotten how to score it.
We saw that against City.
We saw that against City. He couldn't finish because he can't watch his own fucking goal. Let's fix the website, please. Salah's going in. He's going username, Salah. Password, Salah 80.
Fast.
Salah underscore Messi. And then they're like, no, change your password. You need at least one foreign character. And he goes, but I am a foreign character now.
No.
No, but we were trying to find the instance because the goal I've the conceding of a chance that I've seen often this season has been Mignolet kick, and it's a fucked up kick, and it goes to one of our midfield three, and then some, their backs to goal, or they're flat-footed because they're not expecting it. They lose it, and then it's literally the opposition is running at a midfieldless Liverpool because all three of them are flat and in line with each other. So if one of them gets beaten, if they're in a line, they've all been beaten. And you look at the goal, it's literally just De Bruyne. De Bruyne has one pass, and it's a training exercise. We said it. It's like when you set up a training session on a Tuesday, Thursday night, and you say, just use cones.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to defend against real players because they pretty much should have. They may as well have been cones, the defenders.
If you, Jurgen Klopp, even Mignolet after the match, they said, you know, that actually is actually very preventable goal. All you have to do is push up.
That's what Klopp said. But just push up. But it's happened so many times where we clear it, we misclear it. And yeah, you push up, but maybe that's a concentration issue. Maybe it's a thing where they've literally, I don't think Manchester United need to concentrate for 92 minutes of the match. They don't. Their style and their style of play, the Mourinho style, is literally, don't worry, Mourinho said to them, I've put in a system in place that you only have to concentrate for maybe 75% of the game. With Liverpool, they've got to be concentrating literally every second. If they don't press for 1 second of the game, they'll concede. There's something, there's a flaw in there somewhere.
I think, yeah, there is a massive flaw.
And I'm not saying anything about the team. You know, I've never liked the way that we've been defending.
Well, that's been the biggest issue.
Of course.
Since Jurgen Klopp has come in, that's been our biggest issue with him. Everyone always talks about defenders. And, you know, back on Twitter again from last week to this week was, after the Arsenal matches, you know, we're going to win the league. And then after the City matches, we had all this window. We still didn't buy a defender. And it went on again about Van Dijk. But
yeah.
The pushing up incident, so going back to that, when you push your back four up, you close the gap between the midfield and your defence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it more compact. So
yeah,
you're making the field, the area smaller where De Bruyne and Silva love to get the ball and do what they do best. But we didn't do that. We didn't make the field compact. I can stop the moment in any time of that match and show you areas where there's way too much space for these kind of players.
Well, if it's happened several times in the match, that's a completely different story. they were, you know, obviously they were chatting about the first goal, so they were disappointed in that instance. And obviously, the first goal is what sort of leads the game into where it went to. You know, some of the arguments have been maybe Mane isn't as desperate to get to the ball if we're not 1-0 down, or there's a little bit less. You know, we're not as a little bit calmer with our build up, a little bit more patient. I think they sort of
that's a fair shout. To be fair, that's fair.
But you know what? It's probably good to get this out of this sort of thing out of the way, because it teaches the team that they've got to concede goals. They have to learn how to concede a goal, because I think United conceded a goal or so against Stoke. I'm not sure if they conceded first though. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm always using. I think Manchester United are the team to sort of
compete.
I think they're the team to beat this season. They've got the attack. They literally don't have any attacking style. They've just bought the attackers. It's this typical Mourinho. He sets up the defense the way he wants. He's like a Pulis with money.
but that's the old saying is what? Defense will win you a championship.
Yeah.
Attackers win your games. A defense win you a championship. And I think you need both, obviously. But if you look at Chelsea now, they don't copy any goals. They rarely concede.
Mm.
And they're always winning.
The thing I'm going on about with the defense is that with that pressing thing, I bring it up again. They've got to be on it every single second of the game. So when the ball gets cleared by your goalkeeper, as a defender, is your first thought, let's now squeeze in case they make a mistake? That's what they have to be thinking in this system.
What I found embarrassing in that Man City match was how much first ball and second ball we lost.
Mm.
That was, so perfect example was that goal, right? So Mignolet clears the ball, we lose the first header. Bang, mm-hmm. We lose that, it goes down. Then we miss the second ball, which leads to the goal. We got bullied by, what, you'd say arguably a smaller team?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're all about 6 foot, 5'11", but probably on average, they're probably bigger than...
Because Matip was the tallest player on the field.
Mm.
Then Emre Can's not the smallest person.
That's true. Can, yeah, if you compare them all. De Bruyne to Can, Henderson Clavans, to Fernandinho. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So arguably we got bullied by a smaller side.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that was the embarrassing part. I feel like we didn't turn up from the first minute. Forget the red card for a second. What embarrassed me the most was the fact that we looked like we went there without any fight.
Mm.
We had our chances. Like, so Salah was probably the only player who was getting in behind, creating the danger.
Yeah.
And we got him. And when I saw that starting 11, I think I even tweeted it. I'll check later. But I said, we need to target Otamendi one-on-one.
Yeah.
Otamendi one-on-one. And a lot of the our opportunities, which we only had about two or three then before it was all game over, were through Otamendi's side.
Mm.
And I was thinking, at the top of my head, I was thinking, well, why don't we get someone a bit more clinical on Otamendi, like Mane, like switch Salah and Mane across and get Mane running at Otamendi to favour the right foot, I guess, and drive to the line, cut back. Again, Salah was doing it perfectly, of course, but then Salah's final product was the problem out of the opportunities we created.
I do want to talk about Salah, because there is a little bit of hate. Whoops, don't touch the microphone there. There is a little bit of hate going towards him. The thing that I've been trying to do off the air while you've been talking, and I apologize for constantly gazing at the laptop screen, is I'm just trying to find what Jurgen Klopp's defensive record was at Dortmund before he came, whether he is a manager that concedes goals. I'm just going here now to, so I was in 12-13, they were the fourth best defense in the league. They came second. 13-14 is the season that they come second again. They're the second best defense in the league. So they've conceded 38 goals over the whole season. So it's a goal a game, actually. Oh no, not really. 34, they only play 34 games. So yeah, it's basically a goal a game he concedes. How many did we concede last year? Can you remember?
No.
I think it's, maybe it's 50, maybe it's almost two, I don't know, maybe 1.5 goals a game. I'm just wondering why. Again, the overarching theme that I want for this is just defense. Will it fix it if he puts the two screen? I don't know.
I think what can help fix a defense is consistency. So changing.
Yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
So against Arsenal, we kept the clean sheet. We're defensively sound.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, it was Karius, Gomez, Matip, Lovren, and Moreno.
Mm-hmm.
Why change it now? I do not believe for 1 minute that Lovren playing an extra 27 minutes midweek was a massive thing.
You know, one thing I would say is that
they're professional footballers. It's their job to play.
That's true. That's true. But
rest him against Sevilla.
No. I think Sevilla is more important than Manchester City because we saw what actually damned Rodgers in that third season where we didn't perform well was he rested for the Champions League and Liverpool did not like that. The fans didn't like it. Nobody liked it. And we didn't perform in the Champions League. So, but arguably it's probably because he was trying to fight on all fronts. Whereas Klopp has probably he's probably said, I reckon that Klavan can get me through Man City. I'd rather not put Lovren. Lovren's at 8 out of 10 fitness. If I play him in this game, he'll go down to 6 out of 10 fitness. I'd rather him go from an 8 to a 10 than from an 8 to a 6. Because the thing that undid him last season, and look, he's learning lessons. And it's funny because we always see him in his press conferences and he's saying it's all good in the moment. It's all fine. It's okay. You know, he's always saying that. But what is he saying after the fact? There's actually a book been written. I heard it on the Anfield Wrap. Someone had actually interviewed, maybe it's Cy Hughes, I don't know. Someone interviewed him about his first season in England and he said, I was very naive. I worked players too hard. And he's basically admitting that he was at fault for things. He said, in the transfer market, I made mistakes. So now we know after the fact that these things that we had problems with last season, you know how we say in Klopp, we trust the manager. We've also got to come to terms with the fact that he's learning about this thing all the time. So in saying that, his biggest problem last season was that players got burnt out. Very also, good, yeah. Lovren and Matip often had, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks out. So he's trying to sort of limit that. In and amongst this period where they are playing two games a week with internationals and stuff, I think early on in the season he's going, let's not burn out because you know what? We need to get to January because he probably thinks we can get Van Dijk in January. You just said that he conceded three. He was at fault for three goals in the reserves.
Down to 23, he's lost 4-0.
And Van Dijk was playing with them and he was at fault for three of the goals.
If you believe what you read, he was at fault for three of the goals.
So, you know, maybe he's just he's rocketing towards wanting to leave in January. But I think Klopp wants us to get to January with what we've got. And who knows if he'll make purchases in January? He may do, he may not. But that's where we stuffed up last season. I'd rather lose a game 5-0 now against Man City than lose 4 on the bounce in January and February. I'm very patient with Klopp. I'm a very, very patient supporter. I don't want us to win the league this year. You know what I want us to come? Third. Because it's better than fourth last year. I just want us to progress. Or I want us to come fourth and make the semi-finals or the finals of the Champions League. I just want progression because as fans, there's this sort of anxiety in the stand for us to win, whereas rather we should have joy at progression rather than anxiety for not winning. Have joy for progression. It means that we're going to be a happier football club, and then because we know our fans are an extra 10 points a season, 12 points a season, an extra final, an extra trophy. Our fans are. No other fans are like that. Might as well use the positivity of the fans. But anyway, that's a completely different thing. What do you think?
I think progression is very obvious at the moment that we are progressing as a club under Jurgen Klopp. I think, you know, the signings that we've made, like I said, strengthen the left side, done. We've brought in players like, for example, Solanke that we never maybe had. We've got Sturridge fully fit. Yeah, we're progressing. That's fine. But losing 5-0 to Man City is not progressing.
That's true. I agree with you there.
And, the thing is, okay, I know that resting for Sevilla could be a good idea, and that's fine. I mean, Klavan could do a job. Playing in a Spanish side in Europe, in the Champions League at home, I think Klavan would be enough if he had to play that game. I'm not too fast.
Right.
I think the most important thing is to retain, and we said this before on how many pods, retain a Champions League position. And losing 5-0 isn't something that you need to do to progress and to retain in a Champions League spot. Because now,
I'll let you finish. I disagree.
I'm happy that this. I know you said that. I've never believed in a record in the top six. I've never really looked into it. And I know you said it yourself. Where, oh, but you know, thank God the record's over now. So now that pressure's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really looked into it. I think every match, as Liverpool, we should be looking at winning.
Mm-hmm.
But against City, and you know, there's a Champions League match midweek. Has ever come to terms of, you know what, I might do something here where managers who've won the league in the past have gone to these kind of games, knowing there's a midweek game, and played for a draw?
Yeah, that's true.
So Alex Ferguson, Mourinho and the rest who have all done it, have gone to these kind of places, knowing what's ahead of a midweek, and said, you know what? If I jag a 1-0 win or a nil or draw, one or draw, I'm cool with that. Because it's away against the big side, and we've got a home match coming up next.
And that's the thing. The thing is, arguably, with 11v11, you could argue that Liverpool were possibly setting up that way. I mean, the first goal does not show a team that is happy for a draw. Yeah. It doesn't, because they're all pushing up that flat. They're so flat. They're flatter than, I don't know,
bread.
Flatter than bread. Flatter than a line. Could we get some hyperbole, some synonyms, so flat.
Yeah.
Isn't there that whole thing that Wenger, I mean, whatever Wenger says now is complete rubbish, but once upon a time when he was a world-class manager, he used to talk about never ask or receive a ball flat. You always must be at an angle to receive the ball. And that's why Arsenal were so good in their heyday at triangles cutting back, and everything was diagonal.
Yeah, and that's what's made Pep Guardiola so successful.
Yeah, always in triangles. Why are they so fucking flat?
That means, but what I really want to talk about the City match, because we should be moving on soon, I think.
Yep.
What I really want to talk about in the City match is let the red card happen. I think that's been the biggest debate in football, where it's split 50-50.
Do we want to talk about the red card?
In my opinion, that red card could be given and could not be given. It's one of those ones where if you give a yellow card free kick, I'll be like, yeah, okay. Or if you go red card, I'll be like, it's harsh, but why not? Because if you play the game of football, you know the game, that ball has to be won.
Yeah.
You have to go in and win that ball. And once a goalkeeper leaves his box, he's only limited to what much he can do, because he's last man.
Yeah.
He makes any sort of contact, it's a red card. And he can't use his hands. So he's come out rushing out knowing that that's that risk. And it's that, I think Gary Neville said, it's that risk reward, because if Mane gets to that ball first, he gets around him and it's an open goal. So, and it's one of those ones where I'm thinking, you've got to understand where Mane is coming from. He hadn't had eyes on the ball. Did he jump with a boot raised? Yeah. That's because that's where the ball was. He knew he wanted to win that ball.
The Law 12 on fouls and misconduct under the unambiguously titled section, sending off offences, quotes, a player is guilty of serious foul play if he uses excessive force or brutality against an opponent when challenging for the ball when it is in play. A tackle that endangers the safety of an opponent must be sanctioned as serious foul play. So it's exactly as you're saying. It could be or it couldn't be. Officially, according to this rule, Mane is guilty of serious foul play because he endangered the safety of an opponent.
Yeah, even though the opponent put his head down.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
If I am shooting a slingshot at a brick wall, I'm not endangering anyone. But if a person runs right through without me knowing and then gets cracked in the head.
Yeah.
Did I shoot the slingshot at them? No.
That's the thing, and there were three other incidents on that weekend of a high boot to the head. Even the same game, if you go back 5 minutes before the send off, there's a boot near Mane's head.
Yeah,
and I've got the picture. We can post it later if Nish wants to post it. Whatever.
It seems to basically be like you're saying the incident already happened. The incident happened four times in the weekend, once in the same game, and then once against us with Bellerin and Salah. It's literally because Mane made contact with his face. So the referee's giving it not based on the excessive force, because we've seen the excessive force being used. But when his face got hit, when the referee saw that, that's what made him think that it was serious foul play. But someone else got hit in the face this week.
Yeah, Richie, I think it was from Huddersfield in that match. He kicked someone in the head completely. And okay, the studs weren't showing, but there's the boot to the head. Like, you can't fake a boot to the head.
Mm.
And even with goalkeepers, for example, when goalkeepers come out, you know, at the feet, there's a good risk and they can get kicked in the head.
Mm.
And a lot of the time, these aren't red cards. But they're like, I don't. It's just one of those ones where
I think it's basically the fact that we're having this discussion about it shows that it's a hard decision to make. And look, I think that if a person puts themselves in danger, then it's not the fault of the other person. I think it's an unfortunate event, and I'm worried about the other player's well-being. And yes, it's you know, you don't want anyone to get injured, and he was injured, and he should have been stretched off, all that. But he put his head in that position. He's an idiot for putting his head in that position. And you saw the video, the photo that you showed me, which maybe we'll put out on Twitter, is that Mane's eyes are on the ball. The goalkeeper's looking at the foot of Mane.
Yeah.
He's only focusing on making contact with Mane. He's not never going to get the ball that high. Never.
And that's the thing. And all I'm going to say now, so we can move on from this, because I don't want to talk about it anymore, to be fair, is the next time there's a high boot, there better be a red card.
Yep. That's basically. But it always happens to Liverpool. We're always the fucking the test subject, aren't we?
Because now, I don't know if you know or not, but our... So we asked to be the red card to be reduced, the suspension to be reduced.
And I think it failed.
And it got rejected. So he misses three games. He misses Burnley, Leicester in the Cup, Leicester in the Premier League.
Well, that's fine because Mane can be our like Champions League secret weapon.
Well, he can play in the Champions League, but then this is also a good opportunity for, you know, maybe Chamberlain. And
Yep. It's a very good opportunity, especially with him just signing for the club. It's good to get Chamberlain on the field.
And then now... But what I really want to talk about before we move on to the Champions League and...
I was going to say, do you want to move on to Sevilla? But you maybe want to do this next part. I was going to ask you.
Jurgen Klopp.
Okay.
Right? Going back on...
The manager.
Going back on what we spoke about, the match could have been managed and everything else.
Yep.
In the incident of the red card, there were 5 to 8 minutes of nothing. Just the guy getting
stretched off.
Jurgen Klopp...
With a scratch on his face.
Jurgen Klopp spent...
What a soft guy.
That whole time whinging. And complaining and protesting and doing everything else. At this moment of time, I've seen the best managers in the world pull their troops in, organize, reshape. We're doing this now. Let's just go into the halftime, 1-0. Second half, anything can happen. Instead, he doesn't do that. Henderson, I don't know what he was doing because I've never seen a Liverpool captain give up like I've seen him do. And I'm not going to go there. But anyway... Jurgen Klopp should have been planning now just to close the half out. Just close it out, go in at 1-0, and anything could happen in the second half only at 1-0. Because do you have to chase the game? Not really, because a mistake can get you back in the game.
That's a good point. Good point in terms of closing out the game. Couldn't you argue that possibly the game was getting closed out? Because look at the goal that we concede. We don't concede counterattacks. We conceded from good build-up play, and it's that same goal that we conceded against Hoffenheim. We saw it. So the goals we conceded this game, we've conceded time and time again. And you know what it was? It was the right foot cross from deep, in swinging from, I think, is it De Bruyne again? Possibly from the left. Trent doesn't get the boot in for the cross. Goes to Gabriel Jesus, who heads it.
He's completely open. Free. But before that, he was ruled offside for the exact same play, goal. But on the other side of the pitch.
Mm.
So we don't learn. Clearly, it shows that we don't learn from our mistakes.
So how is that Klopp's... What does Klopp do in that situation?
In that situation...
To rally his... I mean, what? Defend the crosses when... He doesn't know a cross is coming in. That's the players.
In that moment there, for example, we've seen...
Well, that's the team. The team doesn't... The team always concedes... We conceded the same goal against Hoffenheim.
Yeah, you can't, again, what happens on the training ground to produce these from happening?
Yeah.
You can't always...
That has to be the training ground.
Because when this happens over and over and over again, there's a training ground problem. Not a one-off thing that we can say, one-off. Because, of course, it's football. 11v11, anything can happen at any moment.
Hmm.
That's the beauty of the game. But when the same goal we cop over and over and over again, okay, then you go, okay, there's something wrong.
Okay, so if we do look at that goal, we just got to assume that the Gabriel Jesus one is exactly the same as the Hoffenheim one, because we just watched the Hoffenheim
with Matip not marking the man twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go. I just want to look, just very quickly analyze that second goal, because it's happened twice in the Man City game. One was offside, but it also happened against us, so Man City, and then the other one happened in the Hoffenheim game.
Yep.
It's a right foot in swinger from the left-hand side. So a person is cutting in on their right foot. What happens? Where... I had a suggestion. So the first thing is Trent can close him down easier. But if he's shown him off the wing, he's sort of done his job.
Well, if he's made him come back in, he's kind of done his job.
He's kind of done his job.
Because that's what you want from your defender. Show him to the line. If they can't do that, you want to get him going backwards. And that's what De Bruyne starts to do.
The other thing you can do is you can close him down sooner so he doesn't cross in the ball.
Yeah.
But you got to get there. You got to get there quicker. I don't know. So there's your first thing. The second thing that I was looking at was, again... Go back to my Rafa times, the 4-2-3-1. In that instance, you've got Trent as your right back. You'd have your RDM, stock standard, helping out, double teaming the crosser. So what I looked at was...
And that goes back to the point, though.
That very quickly, Henderson in the Hoffenheim game was in the box, marking nobody. But that's fine, because he's in his zone. Maybe he's been told that's where you sit when there's a cross coming in. In my opinion, one of... the three midfielders needs to be there. But because the shape isn't set up as left, right, attacking midfielder that comes back, what happens is you've just got three sitting in zones. So in my opinion, the second way that you can prevent that cross is literally the trajectory of the ball is low, starting low and whips towards the goal. If your DM is sitting there, it hits him in the back because he's sitting just, I'm trying to articulate it without using pictures, obviously, for radio and podcast, but he's sitting just on the edge of the box in the far left, in the bottom left corner of the box. That's the second thing. The third thing is exactly what you mentioned. At both times, Matip was not goal side of his player. And that's probably issue.
And I think he gets with murder as well. I think we blame Lovren a lot, but I think Matip is the one who...
I think Lovren's a better defender. Matip's just got better physical... He's more skillful. He's got better physical attributes, but he's not a better defender.
No, because even you look at the goal at Hoffenheim that we copped away with the long shafted ball across there.
It goes behind him.
It goes behind him and in between Arnold as well. So by the looks of things, it looks like Trent... So TAA and Matip together don't really work.
Mm, good point.
If you really look at the goals that were copped, it's the same kind of goals with them two together.
Mm.
So maybe... I would have started with Gomez as well because I think Gomez against Arsenal...
Again, it was a fatigue thing that they said.
Yeah, he played under 23s.
They still run, mate.
Yeah, no, you can't compare. It's under 23s.
Gomez is coming back from a long-term knee injury. You saw Danny Ings break down on the weekend with his knee again.
It was 2 minutes in or something, wasn't it?
I thought 23, possibly. Maybe two, maybe 23.
There's a two in it.
There's a two. Maybe there was a two in it, yeah. But look, again, I'm always going to support the decision because the decision is rest, and we didn't do that last season. And with the squad that we've got, we need to be careful.
Where's Robertson?
No idea.
How come he didn't play?
To be honest, I don't think Moreno did anything wrong in the game. Moreno was fine.
He was fine, but at the same time, I think Robertson just provides a better defensive.
He's also his delivery's a lot better. Maybe, yeah.
Like I said, I'm not blaming anything for Moreno. I'm just saying, where is Robertson? It's one of those ones where he's there. We know he's a good defender. We saw how good he was against. Was it Crystal Palace where everyone was creaming their pants?
Was that an away game or was that a home game?
That was home.
Was at home against Crystal Palace 1-0. Yeah. So okay. Well, maybe he's got this plan of playing him at home.
We didn't play against Arsenal.
Yeah, but like as in easing him into it at home, you know.
We'll see what happens against Sevilla then.
I still think it's going to be Moreno. But okay, so that was that headed goal. We were still talking about Klopp losing his head. My two cents on that is, yeah, I agree with you. I think that with Klopp, when he rallies the crowd and he rallies his team when they're playing well and he gives them the hugs and everything, that's his emotional side coming out, and we've all praised it to the hills and back. We've praised it. So what we have to do is let him learn from this experience. Again, he's going to say 2 years from now, you know what was one of the biggest mistakes I made was not managing the game at 1-0, 10 men down. But for the moment, we don't know that. What we have to do is we have to just take it as his personality. If we're happy for him to be emotional when we're doing good, then we have to accept that he's going to be emotional when we're doing poorly. And he'll learn how to sort of curb that. But having said that, I'm just saying that we probably just have to take the good with the bad. He's an emotional guy. He's going to do that.
We can only judge from what we see on TV because we're not there.
Yeah.
But from what I saw on TV was a manager that didn't know what to do in that game.
That's true. You know what? That's very, very true. It didn't look like, and you know what? In my, again, I said for the screening, if you're under the cosh, just set up, again, what would Mourinho do?
When you go into halftime at 2-0, you have to chase the game. Or you do, what do they call it? You do damage control.
Yeah.
Where, okay, it's 2-0, let's not make it 7.
Yeah.
Or 5.
It could have been probably 7.
But it's one of those ones where, if you go in at 1-0, it's one of those ones where Man City, they can sit off a little bit, which gives us time to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to attack.
Play for corners, you can play for territory.
And then you bring on Solanke, you know, with 15 to go, Kenny Jagg 1-1 all. You know, it's one of those ones where it's tough. But anyway, look, I love Jurgen Klopp to bits and I praise Jurgen Klopp to death. I haven't got his picture in my room on the wall. So I'm not saying Klopp out or FSG out like some people have been, but I think he needs to develop in these areas for us to stay top 4/win the league.
So we've got Sevilla up next. It's a perfect opportunity for us to bounce back, basically. good bounce back ability. Coutinho.
Walk straight in. And that was my point on the last pod. Why did he not go on the bench? I don't care about fitness or whatever it is. If he's just on the bench in the Man City match, Mane gets sent off. You bring Coutinho on.
But you know what?
And everyone just leaves.
Part of me is glad that, look, the game, maybe the game goes differently. We don't get the red card, blah, 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 whatever. But if that, let's just say that we can just insert Coutinho on the bench with us being 1-0 down at the red card and everything. It's not, I don't want Coutinho anywhere near that because of, you know, his mindset, whatever. I want him coming on in a Champions League match at home fully fresh and integrated.
Well, I think he'll start.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe he'll start. That's the scenario. It's almost like when Rodgers was integrating Suarez back in, he made him captain a couple of times. You got to cater to their ego. If we had Coutinho on the bench, he would have walked on in, and he would have gone, "You know what? This is me. I've got to take this as a positive. I've got this. I love this club." Comes on 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. I don't think he would have enjoyed it. And he would have been slumped for the Champions League game. You know what? Instead, he's going, "Look what they did without me. Now I'm back. I'm in the Champions League." And we win 4-0 with him starting in the side.
I think he'll start. I agree. I think he'll start. I think he'll play 60 minutes.
Yeah. I don't mind him sitting out the City game. This is the perfect time to bring him back, for sure.
You see him play 60 minutes, I reckon, and then come off.
Very quickly, if you've got him in the side, what's the starting 11 that we think?
I think you go Gomez. Matip, Lovren, Robertson is where I'd go.
Mm-hmm.
Karius in goals, obviously.
Yep.
Which I'm happy for. Don't care what other people say. Henderson, Chan, Coutinho, Salah, Firmino, Ox.
So Ox in the front three.
Or you go Coutinho where Mane was, and you put Ox where Genie, because I don't want Ronaldo anywhere near the field at the moment.
You know what? Yeah. Well, you know what? I would actually, I wouldn't mind that either. So Salah's, did you say Salah was in your
side? Yeah, on the right.
Now Salah's been rumoured to have a bit of a sore throat.
Oh.
So he possibly won't start, but I'd say that there is a lot of room. There's a lot of room for there to be Coutinho, Firmino, Mane starting up front, and then you've got Henderson, Chan, Wijnaldum in midfield, or you drop Wijnaldum and you've got Henderson, Chan, and Chamberlain. I really want to see Chamberlain as
my mistake, RCM. George. I made a mistake.
What'd you do?
I was meant to say Mane instead of Salah because of...
Oh, so that. You didn't want Salah in the side anyway.
Because I was taking the illness thing. But even if he's fit, then I'd still rest Salah.
Yeah.
And give Ox that kind of home birth.
Mm, yeah. The thing is, the other option is, which is, if I didn't know about Salah's illness, this is what I'd say it would be. I'd say it'd be Mane on the left, Firmino up front, Salah on the right, Coutinho on the left side of midfield, Henderson in the centre, Emre Can or Wijnaldum on the right. I don't know which one it is.
Can, easy.
And then you play, yeah, I think you go Gomez, Matip, Lovren, and then... I'd play Moreno again because I don't think he's done anything wrong. I think he's fine. I think he's actually come out in this defense, barring against Watford. He went in for a challenge. And you know what? Jurgen Klopp, if you remember after Watford, Jurgen Klopp said about that challenge from Moreno, he goes, "You see, the problem is, you know, Alberto come out, he go for the challenge. If he gets the challenge, no problem. Also, might have been a foul on him, I think." So... he actually didn't mind Moreno's decision to come out and try and intercept that pass because someone should be replacing Moreno. And in that instance, he actually said Wijnaldum and Chan both weren't covering the fullbacks well enough. So I think he's actually very pleased with Moreno.
I think Moreno...
He comes out of this defense, he's not faultless, but I don't drop him.
I just got scars from the last Sevilla match he played.
Oh, that's true. Very good point. Very good point.
So I think Robertson, for me, just for my own personal satisfaction and my revenge on Sevilla.
Satisfaction.
And my revenge on Sevilla. So, yeah. I think Coutinho starts for me. I think the crowd needs him. I think the players need him. I think Liverpool need him.
We're going to be playing the same style. We're going to be, and you know what? It probably works in Europe. That sort of high octane, that risky sort of style. beating a horse with a dead horse with a stick. I just want the screeners.
I just think,
Pete, what do I do?
You got to send an email.
What do I do? I can't send an email. The fucking site doesn't work.
But you know what it is? I think Wijnaldum is a massive issue there because you don't see him help out in attack and you don't really see him help out in defence.
I don't mind Wijnaldum. I think he's doing... Look, he's not having the best start to a season. But I think it's because we're playing three workhorses, if that makes sense. Chan is obviously more skillful. We know that. And Wijnaldum's supposed to sort of offer... But I think Wijnaldum helps you carry the ball. He's also got good recovery pace. And he's supposed to be able to get the ball to people who use the ball better. And you need that sort of... He's a very quick, mobile center midfield destroyer who's box to box with unbelievable energy. If you've got Coutinho in that side, there's a lot more balance and Gini makes a little bit more sense, in my opinion. He also really works as a screener.
Then why not try Wijnaldum as a six then and just give Henderson a bit of a rest?
That's actually a good option. That could be a good option.
Because I think Wijnaldum, for me, he disappears.
Yeah.
He disappears in matches. And I hate this theory of in away games he can't perform because he's never scored an away goal. What kind of bullshit is that? You can't believe what you read like that. You're a professional footballer who plays international. He gets paid a ton of money a week. Don't give me this excuse, I can't play away.
Oh, I don't think it's a problem. I think it's just
That's what people... No, if you believe it, you know, obviously what people say.
No, I don't think that's a thing. Has Moreno scored away? Yeah, he has against Tottenham.
That's fine.
Has he who knows? Has he scored at home? Moreno doesn't like home games, you know. I don't know.
Another thing I was flirting the idea with is for the Sevilla match. You know, obviously because Firmino does a lot of running for us and he plays a lot of games for us. Even last year, no one played more minutes than Firmino.
Yeah.
Even against Sevilla, you know what I'd love to see start?
Solanke.
Sturridge.
Oh, yeah. We've forgotten about Danny Sturridge. Yeah, you know what? That's a really good shout.
I think Sturridge with Salah and Mane, with Coutinho behind.
I don't think Firmino and Sturridge don't really work well together, it seems. I think they're occupying the same space.
Yeah, but I think that would be a nice idea, only because I think we need Firmino as... You want to talk about the whole Lovren thing, he's played minutes. Well, Firmino's played more minutes.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, we need Firmino for longer of the year than we would Lovren.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a prediction for the game?
Prediction.
Because we're coming up to 42 minutes now, so I think we've covered everything. So we'll probably just go to predictions and maybe style of play, and then we can...
Look, my prediction in this match is going to be very... I'm going both ways here, and I don't want to sound negative, but I think maybe that 5-0 could have possibly have hurt us.
Okay.
And I hope it hasn't. I hope I don't see some stalemate 1-0 or draw at home in our first Champions League home game in such a long time against... A team we need to get revenge on and smash the living daylights out of. In my head, I can see 3-1.
Where do you see it in your head? Back, front?
Just at the back.
It's about because you're doing this thing with your hands.
Yeah, it's at the back of my head. There. I can see 3-1, but towards the front of the head, I feel like there's a draw on the cards.
Towards your cranium.
Yeah, I feel like there's a draw coming.
I think it'll be 2-0.
I pray to God it is.
But we concede goals. Like, it's as simple as that. We concede goals. So I can't say 2-0, the good in news all honesty.
Nolito's not playing.
Okay, good. He's shit anyway.
Yeah, but for Sevilla, it's actually good. I forget what he did at City.
Jesus Navas. He's back at Sevilla. Both of them from City. Yeah. What a wasted... How many teams could have used those two players? We could have used Jesus Navas, and we wanted him so badly in City. Like, here's more money. Here you go. Sit on the bench. Dickheads.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think because Chelsea won 6-0 today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, United won 3. The English teams have actually, apart from Celtic, I won't call them English because they're obviously Scottish, they got smashed. But
poor Brendan.
But it'll be good to see if Liverpool can continue the trend with the English team starting very strongly in Europe.
Well, at that, let's just hope that we can continue the trend. I don't care about the other English sides, to be honest. I just want Liverpool to win. I think Coutinho coming back into the side at Anfield, our first Champions League match. In this same instance with Rodgers, we flailed. And I love Brendan Rodgers. But that season in the Champions League, we never really got going. So I think a really good sign of progression will be a good performance and a good win in Jurgen Klopp's opening game against much harder opposition than what Rodgers was facing.
Well, against a team that undone Jurgen Klopp.
Yep.
Not so long ago.
Exactly, yep. So it'll be good retribution. It'll be good, good revenge. But also it'll show character because we're coming back from the 5-0. It'll prove Klopp right a little bit because last season we didn't lose any to the top six, but we lost all to the bottom six. So if we lose one every so often to the top six, it won't matter if we keep beating the shit. So well, maybe
that's the biggest debate, right? That's been our biggest problem.
Yeah, exactly. So one loss to Man City, I don't think all the wheels should come off.
No.
We beat Sevilla, we're back on track, and
beat Burnley,
and then we beat Burnley.
We have to beat Burnley.
Absolutely, and I think we will. And you know what? Was that Burnley away?
No, it's home, isn't it?
Is it home?
I think it's home.
Oh, I'm going to check very, very quickly.
Because we just played City away.
Yeah, maybe. I actually think it's away.
What I want to quickly say while you check that up is I just pray to God that our fans
It's at home.
Yeah, there you go. I just hope our fans, when Coutinho is on or starts or when he gets the ball or whatever happens, just be Liverpool supporters and just be what we're famous for, the best fans in Europe. Because he's our best player and we need him to perform at his best this season for us to be successful. Don't make his life harder than what it has, or what he's made it out harder to be, kind of thing. Support him.
Support him. Support the Reds. We'll be back to winning ways against Sevilla. Then we come home, get rid of Burnley, and then everything's forgotten. Up the Reds.
And if anyone's listening and you're going to go to the Sevilla match, and you see someone boo Coutinho, can you please punch him in the face just for me?
Punch him in the face.
See you later.